Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, Big Interview fans, to just a little bit of the Big Interview with Ledley King. For the whole glorious velvet hour, it is that good. You need to be a socio. Go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Patreon is spelled patreon.com/Graham Hunter to instantly unlock this interview and over 9 hours of existing archive content, including Raphael van der Vaart. Ledley is now Chief Executive Officer of Seven of the Best, a free-to-play online football predictor game. It's not gambling affiliated, and you can either play on your own or in a team of seven. Listen in after this interview, and I'll tell you how it works. For now, luxuriate in the great Ledley King. Juan de Ramos, I have to ask, as somebody who kind of watched him and knew what his Seville team was all about, and you won a trophy under him, but it was a mismatch experience. And I seem to remember Aurelio Gomez saying that the food regime with the sort of vitamin mush balls and whatever, and the stripping out of treats in the training ground, made him feel like he was on starvation rations. And under, how bad was the kitchen under Juan de Ramos?
It changed quite a bit. I think the first thing he said, that everyone was overweight when he came. I think he took 22 players from Seville, 22 players from Tottenham, and said we're 100 kg more than them for the 22 players. But, you know, everyone's bodies are built differently. You know, the Premier League's a little bit more physical.
A lot.
So that was the first thing.
It doesn't win your friends.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone had to lose weight. There was one player that didn't have to lose weight. Just one.
Was there a Spaniard in the team?
Nope. Who? I don't think there was a Spaniard, but...
I don't know. Then I'm going to cheat here. Yeah. Jermaine?
Yeah. Which one, though?
Defoe?
No.
Genus?
Yeah. Right. Genus was the only one who was fit, so to speak.
You said that with a degree of bitterness there.
Yeah, I had between 7 and 8% body fat.
What?
But I still had to lose weight. Because I think there's a way of weighing and you can come out obese if you're a sports person. Because I forget the words of it now, but if you take certain body mass or certain height and blah blah blah.
It's never really troubled me. I can't help you on that one.
So you know, we stuck by it and we ended up winning something, so I can't complain. But yeah, some players lost a lot of weight. I think Paul Robinson, goalkeeper, I remember him losing a lot of weight. Tom Huddleston. But I think we did become a fitter team for it. You know, the way he wanted to play was counter-attack football. You know, when we went forward, he wanted to go forward with speed and to have energy. So as players, you know, you just have to follow the manager's rules.
That's a fair answer. Yeah. That isn't always true, because managers that we speak to in the series or I've learned from, they're aware that it's not like I'm the boss and you boys play for me. There is a degree where you have to get a core of the players saying, I might not like it, but I'm into this.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's difficult to argue with, we want you to be fitter. We want you to lose some weight. You know, I think you've got to be open. You've got to be, you know, this was a new manager coming in. We've seen that he had success. We wanted success. did we agree with it? Some didn't, of course. Mm. But let's give it a go. Let's see how we feel.
And it brought you a trophy.
It did, yeah.
What's the moment like when you think back to the cage, think back to, I presume your mum sacrificed things or encouraged you, and you're at the club that you've fallen in love with, and, yeah. and you're like, the whistle's coming, or we're leading, or again, I'm asking about the emotions and when you can disconnect from have to win, concentrate. What happens when you're the leader and you win a big trophy at a stadium like that?
All of a sudden, you start to think, it's not as hard as I thought. You know, once you've got that first taste, and it's something that you want more of. You know, we got to the final the next year, lost on penalties.
Mm-hmm. To United,
yeah. So all of a sudden, you've kind of got over a hurdle that a lot of the players in my team had never won anything. You know, I remember, obviously, Robbie was there from a young age as well with me in a similar position. You know, hadn't won anything. And 26, 27 at that time, and you're starting to think, you know, am I ever going to win anything? So I think there was a feeling of relief that we've achieved something. But, you know, throughout the game, you're always wondering, you know, is it not going to be our day again? You know, until that whistle comes. And when it does, then, you know, as I say, you have that belief that you can go into each season and win something, which obviously it's not been the case. But, you know, it did give us a lift. But obviously we've lost, you know, after that, teams get broken up, you lose some players. And that was a difficulty, you know, having to start again with different groups of players, which has always been tough during my time at Tottenham.
I want to close by, because your time's precious, you've given us a lot, I want to close by asking about sentiment. And you're an ambassador for Spurs.
Yeah.
So it's very clear that they're doing the right thing by moving to Wembley, building a new stadium. So let's just accept that progress and bigger stadium and bigger revenue
yeah.
is a good thing.
Yeah.
But you're losing a precious thing. You know, you're losing the lane.
Yeah.
I want to try and understand what the bricks and mortar of that place, the people that work there, the noises, the sounds, the memories that are now bulldozed meant to you. Are you sentimental? Do you have a seat in the back garden? Have you taken any mementos? Or knock me down and say that's a load of rubbish. I'm not sentimental. You know, progress is everything.
Yeah. I'm not that sentimental. You know, but what I take with me is my memories. In terms of, you know, the first time I turned up at the stadium as a kid, the ball court, you know, which is no longer there and hasn't been there for years. You know, I'll never forget these things. Being out there, making my debut, first at home, my home debut. You know, how the fans reacted to me and how they still do. You have to move with the times, I believe. Obviously, we've had some great memories and great history at that stadium, but, you know, we're now hoping that we can create some more memories in the new stadium, and you know, things do move on with time. You know, as I said, the new training facility that the team moved to probably 5 years ago.
It's sensational. I mean, around Europe, I tell you,
yeah.
clubs talk about it around Europe.
Yeah, of course. And you know, if Tottenham want to be a club that is competing on all levels and known as one of the biggest clubs around, then these are the steps that we're going to have to take. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of people that are sad about the stadium going, but I think the great thing is that we're not moving. We're not moving from White Hart Lane. You know, obviously, the new stadium will have a different name. But we have to move with the times, and hopefully, as I say, we can create some more special moments in the new stadium.
Apart from earning a good living, enjoying yourself and lifting trophies, is it nice spending your career feeling love? Because not many players get that.
Yeah. Of course, you know, I've got such a great relationship with the fans. But it wasn't something that I thought about. It was never in my thinking. It was just going along with how I felt at the time, you know, which was happy at Tottenham. You know, obviously I wanted to compete for as much as I could, but you'll remember I was injured. You know, I had my knee problems from the age of from 26 to when I retired, 31. You know, that obviously had an impact on me, but I saw the way the fans reacted to when I was playing. You know, every time my name was called out, how much I meant to them, and that was important to me. I loved that feeling, and as I say, I was very happy there. I was comfortable in terms of, you know, I've always felt the club was going in the right direction. I feel that if I'd have been fit, then we could have been a better team, a team that could have come maybe close to winning, or we would have won more things, more trophies, been close to maybe winning the league. But I was just in a happy place, and for me that was important in my career.
Now then, there goes Ledley. I think he was fantastic. My opinion is that without much help from me, he proved himself to be an intelligent, articulate, thoughtful football man, and the stories were good. Thank you to Ledley for being such a gent and so generous with your time. Had it been not such a busy day for you, you'd have been pinned to that table for a good 45 minutes more, Ledley, I promise you. But also thanks to Josh from Seven of the Best for setting the interview up. Lads, you were great. Now, as promised, here's how Ledley's game works. Every week, you select seven game results, not scores, from English and Scottish football. Select five wins, a banker, and a draw. You can play individually or as part of a team of seven of your mates. Each week, the player with the top score will win £250. Each week, the team with the top score will win £700. If an individual player correctly predicts 4 weeks in a row, they'll win £1 million. Now listen here, I am going to challenge Ledley King and his mob with a team of hand-picked socios. I'll even let you know how we get on via our Twitter, which is at @GHPodcast. And remember, keep up to date with everything we do by joining our mailing list for free at grahamhunter.tv. We need you. We do this for you, but also, can't do it without you. We can't do it without the socios. Join us, please.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.